Hi, I'm Stunning Stella Cheeks.
And I'm the Enigma Erin Klein.
And this is
Not Your Demographic,
a feminist wrestling podcast.
Shockingly, those exist.
Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, everybody.
Remote recording.
Ooh, technology.
Technology. How are you this bright and early morning?
It is very early. I mean, I always say that. It's like 9:30, but it feels very early for a drinking podcast. We're not drinking. I'm not drinking, at least.
I'm not drinking. I'm drinking coffee. I was hungover accidentally yesterday. I don't need to do that again.
I mean, what better way to get accidentally hungover than mimosa drinking?
That's true. We haven't had a mimosa podcast in a while.
I know. We should do that next time we have to record in the morning and don't have a bunch of shit going afterwards. So never.
That would be terrible to get really drunk in the morning and then go to Shimmer and then just slowly sober up throughout the day.
I mean, you could stay drunk at Shimmer because they do sell booze at least.
That's true.
Like, but everyone looks at you weird when you buy beer at like 2 p.m. at Shimmer, even though the bar is open. I fucking hate that. Every time I go to Shimmer, I'm like, why is this bar even open if everyone's going to judge me for using it? It's the middle of the day.
Yeah, and you're there for like 8 whole hours.
Exactly. It's a work day. It's a fucking work day. It is a work day. That's funny.
Other than it being early, how are you?
I'm pretty good. I had my second week at my new job, which I still really like. It's been busy as fuck. It's been nice because it's been so busy at work that everyone keeps taking me aside going, are you okay? We kind of threw you in. Are you sure you're doing okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. This is a lot to take in, but again, is so much easier than the last job I had. So yeah, I'm doing pretty good. I think I'm going to try to do some art today and decompress. I have a book that's overdue at the library. I am not going to finish, so I'm just going to return it.
What book?
It's the Vagina Bible. It's because it's like technical medical reading, and I'm like a third of the way through it, and it was supposed to be returned on Halloween, and it hasn't been. So I'm just going to return it and put myself back into the hold queue. And so when it comes back, I'll just start where I left off. So I'm going to
look at you, a conscious library user.
Yeah, I was like, it sucks because there's 22 copies available in the library and there's only 7 people on the holds list, but it means that all 22 of those people have not returned their book on time. So I was like, all right, I'll return mine. And then in like 8 months, I'll get it back, I guess. But I also had a book come in at the library called Super Pumped. It's about the story of Uber and how it's all fucked up and how they have to go to court a bunch. And by, I think the guy's name is something Isaac. I want to say Mike Isaac. That's probably wrong. But I was like 59th on the hold list. And then I got an email. Hey, your hold's ready to pick up. And I was like, what? But I have this other book I haven't finished. So I'm just going to return the Vagina Monologues and pick up Super Pumped and be like, well,
Vagina Bible.
Whatever. Sorry. Yeah, I have a copy of the Vagina Monologues. I don't need to read it again. How are you?
Fine. I don't know. I quit my job. I had my last day there. Thanks.
You weren't there when there was a near tragedy.
Oh my god. Yeah, I forgot to tell Nick that. I have to tell him that. Yeah, I kept making jokes on my last day because like I kept finding things that were like, I don't know if this is up to code, these random wires all around, and I was like, someday this building's gonna burn down. And then that night it caught fire. Nick's in the background going, wait, what? It was caught fire in the morning because somebody left they're building like a new stage and somebody left a rag and a pot of like stain. And apparently that's very combustible. For the record, nothing that I said was going to happen, but I did maybe curse this place. I didn't mean to. It was an accidental curse. I don't know my own strength. I said it on Halloween. I don't know if maybe that amplified it.
Yeah, that's even funnier that it happened on Halloween. You were just like, I'm done with this. Curse be on this place.
Well, it was fine. Everybody's fine. People were there, so the fireplace got called. It's fine. I'm sure I probably even shouldn't be sure yet, but what are they going to do, fire me?
And you didn't say where.
Yes.
And also, true. This is a good message because half the people in our car, when you found this out, did not know that that was possible. Do not leave rags in floor stain. It is extraordinary combustible and will burn a building down. So don't ever do that. So there. PSA for our listeners. Don't fucking leave fucking rags in floor stain. It will absolutely 100% combust and burn a building down.
Correct.
I can't believe know that also. I was really surprised.
Why would I know that?
You don't know? Have you ever seen Back to the Future? It literally happens in that movie.
Once. And you know I'm not a huge fan.
Oh my God.
Also, good thing that happened this week, I got like my thesis topic approved. I still have to get my like proposal in.
I didn't know that. And I got
I got the advisor that I wanted. So I'm very excited. And he was like, so why are you writing a thesis? And I was like, because I want to. And also because I'm a better writer than I am at the media art stuff. And, you know, just to see if I can do it. And he was like, okay, that's a pretty good reason. It's going to be very hard. I was like, thank you for your vote of confidence. He's like, oh, I think you could do it. But like, they just want you to be prepared.
Yeah.
It's like, you don't have to do this, you know? And I was like, yes, I'm choosing this pain. Thank you.
Although I think you're probably right that it will be easier for you individually to do the thesis paper because it is very hard and it does take a lot of fucking work. But if you're going to find it more difficult to go through like a digital platform, like that work is going to be just as hard in a more frustrating way.
Yeah. So
well, that's great.
Whee.
Yay. Well, I'm so excited.
And, you know, other than that, casual depression and, you know, whatever.
You know, normal stuff.
Since we kind of already touched on it, you want to do book corner up top?
Yeah, let's do it.
You first.
I have my big book of books sitting right next to me, actually.
Book
of books. My big, giant book of book records. In case our listeners don't know or have forgotten, I keep very detailed records of everything I read and have been keeping records since I was a senior in high school. So I just have a big old book I can open and tell you what I read on literally any date for the last 13 years.
It's psychotic, really.
It is fucking psychotic. It's something that is hard for me to let go of. It's very funny because I started keeping this in high school when I was like, I did it for a senior project. And then the following year, I was like, I should keep doing this. This is a good idea. And like, it's gotten more detailed as years go on. It used to just be a list of the titles and then it included authors. And then it was dates that I finished it. And now it has like a star rating. And I put a little review next to it. Because, again, obsessive. But I started keeping it because I was like, I should do this for when I have grandchildren. And they can, like, find this and look at the things that their grandparents read. But I did that thinking I would never get married or have children. So I don't know whose grandchildren I thought this was going to be for. But I was, like, fully prepared to pass it down to some grandchildren. So I may have my own I can give it to eventually. But, okay, so I think last time I said that I had read Deaf Republic, right? Did I talk about I Kill Giants? Have we talked about that yet?
I don't know.
Have you read I Kill Giants?
No. It sounds really familiar, but no.
It's one of those books that's been on my reading list for like a literal like half a decade because it came up on like best graphic novels everybody should read. And I was like, oh, I Kill Giants. Okay. And I just had it on a list and I just never requested it from the library. I was like, I'll find it someday. And then I walked into my new library branch at work and it was just sitting on the shelf. And I was like, well, that's a sign. I should absolutely read this now. It's by Joe Kelly and Ken Nomura. And holy fuck, is it good. I can absolutely see why everyone was like, yeah, you should read this. It's about a young girl who's going through a tragedy and she has to learn how to deal with grief, but she like lives in a magical realism world.
Oh, excuse me while I immediately request this from the library.
Yeah, you should read this and you should, everyone who's read it is like, oh God, warn her. You should be prepared that you're going to fucking cry, like really cry. It's very
good. Yeah, like, what else is new?
I mean, that's true, obviously, but like I got basically all the way through it. And then there's just this one section at the end that I was like, wow, was not ready for that sucker punch. It's really fucking good. You'll really enjoy it. I'm surprised you haven't read it, but it was, man, it's good. It's heavy, obviously, but it's really fucking good. So I read that. And then I also finished reading The Creeps, which was a collection. It's called The Creeps, A Deep, Dark, Fierce Collection by Fran Krause. And it's like two-page... it's like every other page is a new fear. There's 100 of them. And it's like I'm not sure where Fran lies, solicited fears from people on the internet and was like, what are things that you're afraid of? And so it's little comic illustrations of all kinds of crazy shit that people are afraid of. Like, I'm afraid when I leave my hand dangling off the side of the bed, someone will reach out and hold it. And then it's like an illustration of that. It was very good. I really enjoyed it. I flew through it in like an afternoon. I read that. And then I read I Kill Giants. So I was like, oh God, this is a lot. Doing a lot of heavy shit. And then I actually didn't read Death Republic. I finished the Testaments last time I came over. Death Republic, I also finished by Ilya Kreminsky. It was a National Book Award finalist. The winners haven't been announced yet. It's a collection of poetry about an undisclosed settlement, I guess. I don't know. It's really hard to describe. It's like, I pictured it set in Syria. It's like a village that's surrounded by war, basically. And so they're under like military rule, and people are kind of afraid to be out in the streets with the people who are enforcing this military rule. But it's all written in poem form, and it starts off that a young boy who is deaf is executed in the street by the police for not following commands. And so then the whole town, unclear whether it's real or not, contracts deafness, and they just stop listening to the police. And what happens to the whole town after they all decide we're all deaf now, and they like come up with their own sign language. At the end they're like, it's not contemporary sign language of any country, it's not American or British SL, it's just this village has created this. And it's a fictional story, but it's really interesting. My favorite poem,
sounds really cool.
It was really, really, I can see why it was nominated for the National Book Award finalist. It reminded me a lot of Jokes for the Gunman. I personally thought Build Yourself a Boat was better, but I can see why this moved on, because it's such an interesting concept. And the poem at the very end is my favorite. I don't want to say what it's about necessarily, but it really tied everything together and made it more contemporary in like 2019 America, and was like, oh shit, this could be us. So I highly recommend Death Republic. And I mean, it's a National Book Award finalist, so those are almost always good. So you can kind of anticipate that it's going to be good, but I definitely recommend it. So that's what I've been reading. Lots of weird shit.
What else is new?
What porn have you been reading?
Oh, well, I do have a lot to talk about.
I know.
Well, I'm still reading that short story book of vampire. Did I talk about that last week?
Yes, probably. The Mammoth Book of Vampire Romance. Or whatever.
Yes, correct.
Yes.
And then one of the books that I ordered based off of a short story I read in that The Wages of Sin, okay, by Jenna McClain, who maybe be dead, because I can't find any trace of her on the internet, and she hasn't published in a decade, so I think she's dead.
She's either dead, or that was a nom de plume, and she's no longer using it.
I'm going with dead.
I mean, I think you're probably right that she's dead, but we talked about this last week, but I was also thinking about it since then, because I've been listening to She Done It, the podcast about women in detective fiction, and they have a whole thing about nom de plumes, and that's one of the reasons that people do them, is because they're like, oh, I'm writing this thing that is lowbrow, and so I'll pick a pen name, which obviously a lot of people do, but I was like, oh, maybe that's what it is, but she's probably dead.
I like to think that she's dead.
I think both of us are like, we don't want to prefer that she's alive and well under a different name. She's definitely dead.
But it's like I've read a couple chapters so far. I got it yesterday, and it's absolutely terrible, and I love it. So
terrible,
stupid.
Good or terrible bad?
Well, like actual terrible. It's not very good, but I like the story. Look, I can read a novel that I hate that has bad writing if it's got a fun, you know, romance angle.
Man, that's I'm totally the other way, where like I will read something that the writing is very good but the story is terrible, because I'll push through it, but if the writing is bad, I'm just like, nah, I'm out.
A good story, honestly, a good story will get me through anything, because I'm like, I see where this is going, I think it's pretty clever, whatever. If she says the word his skin was pale like marble 100 times. Look,
no.
A lot of vampire tropes that are terrible.
Oh, no. Oh, Jesus. Okay.
I can feel my husband's eyes rolling into the back of his head behind me as he's trying to be quiet watching soccer. So I'm reading that, those two things.
All right.
I listen, I don't know if I talked about this last week, but I listened to a Macbeth audiobook that starred James Marsters, which was very good.
Yeah,
I finished it. It's very good. Awesome. And in keeping with my James Marsters, my friend who I share fan fiction with, she was like, so do you want other fan fiction, or are you just into Good Omens? And I was like, at this point, I'm just open to anything. And she was like, do you want Buffy fan fiction? And I was like, obviously. And she was like, how filthy can I send you? And I was like, hit me with the filth. So she sent me a bunch of Spuffy porn, and holy shit.
What is that?
Spike and Buffy.
Oh, okay.
It's nuts. I love it.
Isn't Spike gay?
No.
He's not?
No, his partner's Drusilla. Come on.
I've never watched Buffy more than like 4 episodes. I truly and sincerely thought that Spike was a gay character.
Nope. Not even like a little bit.
Is there a gay character?
I think so. I haven't watched Buffy in like a couple years. I think so. Oh yeah, Willow, duh. Who's stupid?
Oh, okay.
Willow is like super gay.
Sorry, I probably should have clarified that I meant male gay character. I do know that Willow is a lesbian.
Maybe later. I don't know. Not in the main like group.
I wonder if maybe this is one of those rare instances where all I ever saw about him was actually fan fiction, and I just did not realize that because I didn't watch the show.
James Marsters' character on Torchwood is super gay.
Yeah, and maybe that's why.
Hair and face always look the same, so.
Yeah, they do. Oh, man.
Anyway, so I'm just reading smutty, smut, smut. But the thing is like, because I'm in grad school, the things that I'm not reading for fun are really technical, heavy stuff. Like, especially because my class is Campaigns for Social Justice. So it's like, read this article about like the beginning of the Black Lives Matter movement. Read this article about like marketing, trying to get awareness out for the Ebola crisis. And so it's like, yeah, I'd like to read some smut now.
It sounds fascinating.
Yeah, it's really fascinating. But, you know, there's balance is everything.
Yes, that's true. Balance is everything.
All right, let's talk about wrestling.
Okay, whatever. What wrestling merch are you wearing? Any wrestling merch? You're just in your pajamas.
I am, because we went to Rise last night, which means I just fell asleep in what I was wearing. So I'm wearing a Tessa Blanchard t-shirt and an Allison Kay sweatshirt.
Wow, you really just went to bed in your clothes.
I put on pajama pants and took my bra off, but like, why am I going to change a t-shirt for another t-shirt? That's stupid.
I mean, because you were in a dirty wrestling venue.
I didn't rub my body on the floor. What wrestling merch are you wearing?
I'm not wearing the clothes I wore last night. I didn't wear a wrestling shirt to the show last night, actually. I wanted to wear my blue Golden Girls shirt, and I did, and I was very happy about it. I am wearing a wrestling shirt right now. I'm wearing my Queen of the Deathmatch shirt because I had such a good time at Rise last night. I couldn't pick a woman, so I was like, I'm just going to wear this one.
Rise fucks.
Rise does fuck.
So Aaron and I didn't watch SmackDown last night because we were at Rise. We obviously heard about all the NXT invasion stuff, and that's very exciting.
Yes.
I'm going to watch it later. But again, it's like 9 o'clock in the morning, so like not a lot of turnover.
Move quite that quick.
Yeah. I think that it's smart. Like, they were forced into a situation – a bad situation that is entirely of their making, but still a bad situation where most of their cast and crew were stuck in a terrifying country. Mm-hmm. And so they're like, oh shit, what do we do? Oh yeah, we have this third brand that we're trying to make a thing as a third brand. Let's make them do stuff.
Yeah, truly. None of those people are there. I'm like, yeah, that great. Awesome. And God knows they don't want to have a show full of just women because they have nothing for them to build to.
Yeah, I mean, there's some like inconsistencies that don't make sense. Like, Shayna and Rhea are not friends. It's weird that they're like standing together. But also, it's that like fucking Survivor Series mentality where like the enemies join up together because like, I might hate you, but I hate SmackDown more.
Yeah, exactly. I saw a bunch of people complaining about Shayna attacking Bayley. Like, Shayna hates everybody. It doesn't matter that Bayley is a heel now. Also, the Four Horsewomen hate the Four Horsewomen. Like, that's actually pretty good storyline through.
That makes 100% sense. I don't know why anyone would bitch about that.
Yeah, it was like the first thing I saw when I got up this morning was people complaining about that in particular. I was like, why would you be upset about this? All four of the horsewomen have been heels before, and they can go seamlessly back and forth because heels can hate each other. Like, that's fine. It's cool.
Yeah, honestly, that seems like the most consistent storytelling.
Truly, it's like the longest through line that they've had of any story ever, other than Rusev is somehow a cuck. Like, that also has longevity that we cannot explain.
Hilarious to me that they were like, okay, we're going to take three women to Saudi Arabia. We'll do Natty and Lacey, and they'll have this like awkward match, which yes, I know it was historic, but it was fucking awkward. And then we'll bring Lana so she can stand there for 15 seconds so we can continue this cuck story. She did have this like cool, like sparkly caftan thing going on, and I was into the look.
That's nice. I mean, I would rather that she be in that than a full bodysuit and a t-shirt. I don't understand that at all, because when Alexa...
I think they needed to be covered. Well, those are different countries, and I think they needed to be covered, and they were like, these suits are very tight and suggestive because you could see their, you know, the curves of their body. Put a shapeless t-shirt over it.
Yeah, but I don't know. I guess part of it for me, like, I know that they're different countries, but I was going to say that when Alexa and Sasha had to wrestle in a country where there's almost more restriction, where you have to cover your hair the whole time while you're doing it too, like, it's bizarre that this is like the trade-off. Like, they were like, here are these suits that we used for this other thing. You can have your hair out, but like, I don't know, put like a triple XL t-shirt over it. It's fine. It's like, you guys don't plan at all, huh?
I don't know. I think... And this is not disparaging anybody's like body, but I think it honestly it was like, because I think this was pre Alexa having her like boobs done. I think it was like these women are pretty slender and don't have as like, even though Alexa has like a crazy butt, they don't have as much of a suggestion. And like Natty and Lacey have big tits, and like
that's you know true. What
I
mean,
like I think it may have been something like that. Like this is not, you gotta, you know, cover the fact that you're a woman, which is stupid. I will say, okay, so I did end up watching Crown Jewel. I was home and I knew I wasn't going to be tweeting for SmackDown because we're at Rise. And honestly, I just felt like everybody else at the Cage Side office has to do it. And if I'm available, I should be a team player with my team because we all have to do this dumb thing that we don't want to do. So that's why I did it. You can call me a hypocrite, whatever. I mean, I really didn't pay attention that much, but I did watch it because I was trying to, like, be a good employee.
I mean, you basically watched it for the same reason that I watched the first Crown Jewel, that it happened to be on, and it was at night, and I didn't leave my hotel room. You're like, well, it's the day, and I'm at my house, so here we are.
I'm here. I'm doing admin work. I could be a dick and be like, sorry, everybody else in the Cage Side office who has to do this, or I could just be, you know, team player. Team player sell cheeks. That's me.
Famously, that's what people call you.
Yeah, that's like my famous nickname. I mean, the show was not worth like watching. The hilarious thing that happened immediately is that Brock made Cain Velasquez tap in like 2 minutes, and they didn't have like a wrestling match. They had like a shitty MMA adjacent match. Apparently Cain has to get knee surgery, and so that's why it was like that, which makes a lot more sense, but also like dumb.
Yeah, why? Okay, whatever. I was gonna say, why hire someone who you can't use as a performer? And the answer is, they did use him as a performer. It's just in name only, much like Ronda.
Yeah, but I think Kane will be there for like a longer term once he gets his knee, because he wants to wrestle and is like a pretty decent wrestler.
And he's like put work in. I guess the hard thing too is that WWE doesn't want him to do lucha at all, which is what he wants to be doing. So there's also that.
Well, hopefully, like, in the future when they eventually move him away from his storyline with Brock, because I mean, you can't be in that storyline for 10 years or whatever. I mean, they could, it's WWE, but theoretically he will have other feuds, especially because he lost so like epically. Theoretically, they'll let him wrestle a different style. Because Ronda, you know, Ronda did a bunch of new stuff. She did her dumb MMA stuff, but she did try new things. And like,
that's true.
You know,
yeah, the longer she was there and like the different storylines that she got involved in, they like allowed her to do more. Because when she was just going after like
Steph.
Yeah. And even when she had like that weird back and forth with Sonya, where it was like, no, my specialty is in something that you never understood or fucking whatever. Irrelevant, honestly. But like that shifted away in the end towards, I am a wrestler and I do these six wrestling moves. So that's true. That's a good point. And like, I have nothing against Cain Velasquez as a wrestler. I think that it sucks that he got used as a prop in this like weird way, but also like make that chingle chingle, I guess. I don't know.
Right. Yeah. And then the other big thing that happened at Crown Jewel is that Bray Wyatt won the Universal Championship.
Which I was very surprised by. Also, like, man, what a choice to bring a severed head lamp into Saudi Arabia. That's a...
Correct.
Wow. Wow.
A choice.
Yeah.
Honestly, I bet nobody even thought about it.
Yeah, I bet you're right.
It seems like one of those things that they're like, what do you mean? That's just this thing that he does. And it's like, context.
Yeah. I mean, fucking Steph made an on-air joke about, I guess we're not supposed to joke about dismemberment, like right after Jamil Khashoggi was dismembered. So they're obviously aware of that. I think they truly don't care. And I bet you're right. They didn't even think about it. It was just like, oh, this is a thing that he does. Who gives a shit? We don't need to be sensitive in any way to the fact that people were murdered here.
Anyway. Also, when Lacey's music hit and you just hear so traditional, I was like, oh, this is weird. I don't like this. I don't like this. But whatever, you know, it happened.
Yep.
It happened. And then a bunch of people got stuck in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, in a terrifying set of hours, people were stuck in Saudi Arabia. There were reports that it was a bunch of mechanical problems and that there were a bunch of fuel line problems. When that happens, you don't keep people on a plane for 7 hours. You usually evacuate them because there's a chance that it could explode. So it's weird that they were then stuck on this plane for several hours. Seems very shady. And then it came out later that Vince and 20 people got on a different jet and flew away, which, both being on that jet and not being on that jet, I bet was fucking frightening. Like, I'm one of the 12 wrestlers who got to get on this plane and fly away from all of my friends. Like, oof, yikes. And also, that plane then later had to land due to, quote-unquote, unforeseen circumstances, which I don't know what the fuck that means. I can make a guess from knowing very little about Saudi Arabia's politics that it was probably a military escort that made them land, because Vince got into a fight with officials. Like, how... That is just, like, the absolute number one fucking mentality of old rich white dudes. Like, oh, I can do whatever the fuck I want and then just fly away from this problem. Like, no, you can't always. You truly and sincerely cannot do that. Some of the superstars chartered their own plane and left the country and went to Ireland. Like, that is fucking scary. I cannot imagine what it was like to be the people who were here in the States while that was happening. Like, are my friends ever going to come home? Like, there were photos of Ziggler being moved into a hotel room, which is very frightening. The Saudi Arabia government has kept people in hotels like prisons for up to 3 years sometimes. Like, that's not a good sign when people get moved into a hotel there. Like, but everybody's back now. It's, I don't know what the fuck happened overnight, but they're all back now.
Yeah, I'm glad. I'm happy for everyone being back.
Yeah, it is a very frightening situation. Also, I can't imagine as a performer or crew member that inspires confidence in you to ever go back there. Like,
yeah, it will be really interesting to see what happens.
Probably fucking nothing. But if there are
But like, honestly, if it's one of those like situations where it's like, if enough of the staff and crew like honestly banded together and were like, no.
Oh, you mean like as a unionized front of some kind?
No. Interesting.
Interesting.
I honestly, I mean, I quit my job every other day, so like maybe this doesn't mean anything at all. But I would, that's definitely a situation where I'd be like, my life is more important than this job. So bye.
I also wonder too if the power really is going to come from the crew who got stuck there, because they are employees and they actually do have a say in the way that the rest of
and crew for television has to be unionized, right?
Yeah. I believe so. I'm not totally sure how WWE's system, it is entirely possible that Vince did the old rich billionaire thing of creating a bunch of people who were trained in the field who were not unionized and then didn't allow them to union, or like implied that he wouldn't allow them to unionize. So I don't know if they're actually union. I would assume so, because you're right, most television people are, but WWE is a fucking weird microcosm. Who knows if they're unionized or not? I doubt it, honestly. But the crew complaining about them having live shows on Christmas are the reason that they did not have live shows on Christmas that year, too. So I'm curious about where they will push this. Really shitty if it's like, oh, well, this specialized group we can't immediately fire said something. Like, I'm glad if that's the outcome, but it also, like, really demonstrates to the talent, like, truly fuck all of you. Like, we don't give a fuck about anything, about anything to do with any of you, because you're not a union.
Yeah. You really fucked up, Luke Harper. You could have changed this.
Oh my God.
Just blame it all on him. Overall, though, really good week for NXT because their show this week fucked, and then they got this special SmackDown spotlight. Lots of good women's matches on NXT, yeah. Like the Finn Balor, Johnny storyline. I technically watched AEW because every Wednesday I have to pick, and I've been picking AEW because it's newer and fresher. And this week was the first week that I was like, I made a mistake. I was like kind of following along, and like on the commercials, I would flip over to NXT. Then obviously I watched the women's matches, especially I loved the tag match between the Kabuki Warriors and Team Kick. That was fucking really good. I love that a lot. Also, Tegan Nox said that Kane is her favorite wrestler, and I was like, get it, girl. Bad. I too love Bonded. Wales, and I like Kane. So we're friends now. yeah, why not?
All right. Good as reason of any.
And then they also announced the women's War Games. So fucking exciting. I'm really torn because it's in Chicago and I hadn't planned on going because honestly, it's really hard to go to a big stadium and still tweet, which sounds silly, but like I'm fighting internet with everybody. And I have my tricks now because I've done it so many times. But I'm really torn because I'm like, man, do I want to go see live first ever women's War Games? But part of me also wants to stay home so I can actually see it and watch it. You know, I'm so torn. Voters, what should I do?
Totally.
But yeah, I think next week I'm going to pick NXT over AEW. And I think it's just going to be a week by week thing where I have to be like, but next week is also the go home show for Full Gear. On which they still don't have a women's fucking match announced for their fucking pay-per-view.
Yeah. I mean, they have to announce it this week. It feels like that's – I think part of it, too, is that they, put off the women's stuff by a week by doing that spotlight match for Britt in Pittsburgh, which – whatever.
Yeah, but every week – here's the big problem that I'm having with AEW's women's division right now.
They don't use them.
Every week they have – they're spotlighting new – they are bringing out their talent and they're kind of being like, this is what a roster looks like. Here is this new person you haven't seen, or here's a person you haven't seen since a pay-per-view. And you do really like that. But if you're going to do that, you definitely need to have two women's matches on the card because there is no cohesive storyline at all happening in the women's division at all. It's just here are some spotlight matches, which great. I love a spotlight match, but also, your pay-per-view is in a fucking week and you don't have a cohesive fucking storyline to put together a championship match.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. That's a really good point. And although I will say, just as to put that out there for this week on AEW, a lot of what has been going on AEW is the tag team championship, which is now done. And so I feel like they have to do something different this week because so much of what they've been doing is tag, which again, we've been back and forth on this a little bit where I'm really happy to see great tag team wrestling and to see it spotlighted and pushed as important, but it also has been noticeable that there has been so much tag wrestling and there has been almost no women's wrestling. So I really hope that they refocus this week. And if they don't, I think that that's kind of a statement from AEW that we've been hearing what you're saying for the last month and we don't care.
Yeah, I also am super hyped for SCU to have one. I think Scorpio Sky was the shining star of that whole tournament, and I think he fucking deserved it.
Yeah, I'm glad it was him that got the pin. I thought that he really deserved it. I felt like they did a really good job of building him as someone who is with people who are established that more people might already know and be more unfamiliar with him. I was less familiar with him as the member of that group. And I think that they did a great job of establishing him as this dude. I think that it's kind of like when they had to take the New Day in the direction where they had to prove that Xavier Woods can wrestle. People who liked New Day already knew that, but there was a huge percentage of fans who were like, oh, it's just Kofi and Big E who are the wrestlers and Xavier is their manager. I kind of feel like SCU had to do the same thing now with Scorpio Sky, and it has been totally proven. He was the one that got the pin that won them the first ever AEW tag championships. He is an absolutely valuable member of this team, and I think that that's smart, and I'm glad in the end that that's how. I was shocked. I really thought Lucha Bros were gonna win, but I'm happy that it was Scorpio Sky who got it.
Yeah, I'm really, really, that's such a good point. And I think that that's exactly what happened. And also, like, because the Lucha Bros attacked Christopher Daniels, I think that the storyline with them will continue. Right. And that also gives, you know, Lucha Bros the spotlight still. They don't need belts. They're like, somebody online was like, Pentagon has like all the trappings of being like a really big star. And I was like, Pentagon is a big star, you dipshit. Yeah. What do you mean?
Pentagon is a
truly
huge
like,
star.
What are you talking about? Just because he's not on WWE, he's not a big star. He's like one of the most popular fucking tag team wrestlers in the fucking and wrestlers, period, in the fucking world. Shut up.
Yeah, totally. Ugh. Also, like,
how dare you talk to
also,
me?
Also, what that dude probably means when he says all the trappings for it is this dude doesn't speak English, which is like true, and he's gotten way, I mean, we've been seeing him for like what, like 4 years now, and like he did not speak any English when we first started seeing him at AAW here in Chicago, and now like that has improved a lot, but a lot of times that's what people mean is like, oh, they have like, people say that about fucking Asuka, that she has all the trappings to, it's like, no, she's a huge fucking star. Just because she doesn't speak perfect English does not mean that that may not be exactly what I was saying. Like, I don't want to be mean and like zero in on this imagined racism, but like that is a lot of times what people mean. And like WWE probably would not hire Pentagon and let him be the star that he is now because they would want to like saddle him with someone who they think can speak better. Like, he's a huge star as he is exactly now, and like let him be that fucking star. I love it. Also, he doesn't need to be a singles wrestler. He can wrestle singles fine. He's one of the best tag team wrestlers in the world. Let him fucking do that.
Absolutely. All right. Jericho wore a stupid jacket. We talked about AEW.
Oh, I think we should absolutely acknowledge Jericho's fucking insane level screaming, crying performance. That rules. That shit was great. I love what they have been doing with that. I love the way that Jericho, I think that this is the best Jericho's ever been. Even better than List Jericho, even better than Festival of Friendship Jericho. Like, there is something about him that he has just totally embraced this role in this company. And Le Champion is just absolutely fucking doing it for me. I love it. I think it's great.
All right. I think we can talk about Rise now.
Wait. We should acknowledge this because it happened after we recorded, but before our episode came out last week. There has already been a lot said about what happened with Jordan Miles and that fucking t-shirt.
Oh yeah, I forgot that we haven't talked about it.
So I just want to address that real quick.
Yeah.
It is racist. It is fucking racist. It is blackface imagery. It is offensive. There is absolutely no fucking way that what WWE says happened. It just didn't. Absolutely not. Also, when black people tell you that something is racist, they are correct. There is absolutely never any point that a white person should be like, you know what? No, I actually think these white people had the best thing in mind. It doesn't fucking matter. This black person experienced this racism. They spoke out about this racism. They were right. That's it. Like, that should be the boiled down conclusion. A lot of people are like, oh, ACH snapped. Oh, he didn't actually snap. If he snapped, then more people should snap. Yeah, snapping's not bad, always. Snapping is actually very good. Snapping is because so much tension has been applied to you that you finally snap. And I think that he did that. And the snap was, I'm not going to fucking take this anymore. And that was the right thing. And like, he spoke out about his experiences. And like, it felt to me like it pushed far when he started talking about ROH, but also those are his lived experiences, and he's right. He is right that ROH is fucking racist and treats black people like shit, and the words that he used to describe G Lethal are his words, and he is the one that gets to say that. If that's his experience, he can say that. And like, I as a white person do not have any opinion on the fact that he used those words because they don't affect me, or my place in society doesn't make people think differently of me if I'm called that, or like, that's him. That's his whole deal. I understand why he deleted those tweets. I understand all of that shit. Does not change anything about the fact that that t-shirt was fucking racist and WWE fucking lied to him about it, and it's bullshit. That's it. That's all I'm going to say about it.
I agree with everything Aaron said, and I'm not going to say anything because that was kind of succinct and perfect.
Awesome. Let's move on to Rise.
Okay. Fuck. Okay. We went to Early to Rise, mostly because that was the only – because we were given an opportunity to see Jake Atlas wrestle Tessa, because Tessa's not going to be there for Shimmer Weekend. And even though Early to Rise is kind of boring because it's a lot of standing around, that match fucked. And also online, they, like, tweeted at each other, and Tessa was like, he's one of the best wrestlers I've ever shared the ring with. And he was like, Tessa's a legend. And I just like them being like, we're both very good. Yeah. And look at this really good match we put on.
I love it. I love it so much. And I agree. I thought the Early to Rise, there was it. I mean, you're going to Shimmer. You understand what long pauses in between matches are like. But that's what it felt like. It felt like we were at a Shimmer show that had like really bad technical problems. There were just like really, there were like 10 minutes in between some of the matches. And like, that's fine. If I just wish it had been presented more like that. I thought it was going to be more like,
it was like a meet and greet interspersed with,
right,
like,
yeah, exactly,
wrestling. Or like not even a meet and greet, more like a craft fair where people, but like they're selling, like all the people are there selling their merch. Yes. And you could talk to them, take pictures and stuff. And then it's like interspersed with wrestling. It's like craft fair.
I never thought that I would say that I wished a show was more like this show, but I wish it was more like that weird pro wrestling Blitz show where you walked in and it was actually like a craft market. There was like a weird little flea market and there were wrestlers set up, but there were also like church ladies there. But you had to walk through that before you got into the space where the wrestling was going to happen. And so you got to do the meet and greet, like, in the beginning, everyone did their stuff, and then you went in, and you, like, sat down, and the wrestlers went into the back, and then the show started. Like, I kind of wish this had been more like that, but I don't know how you would set that up. I guess you could maybe set it up like that at, like, Logan Square, but you can't really do that at Berwyn. Like, that space is just not set up for that. But I kind of wish it had been like that. I feel like the time would have been a little more well-organized then, because in that space, it was just like, what's going on here? How long are we waiting for this thing to happen? And like the wrestling was good, even the like showcases from the seminars, like I enjoyed those matches. It was just like, oh, I don't really know what pace I'm supposed to be. It was hard to stay hyped for all of the matches when you have these like big downswings in between them. I think that was the hardest thing for me.
Also, we've said it before, I'm going to say it forever. I do not understand why wrestlers, independent wrestlers, do not have a sign with their Venmo on it and a fucking tip jar. Like, I want to give you money, but I don't need your merch. Especially if sometimes like they're only selling like 8x10s or whatever. I'm like, I'm never going to buy that. I want it, but I also feel weird just giving you like money because it's not like a normal, like if this was a drag show, I would just be like, here, have some money. And be like, great. This is the social contract we have entered into. But that is not a thing. I guess I could, but like, I just wish it was more like, yeah, sure. If you like my work, here's my Venmo.
Yeah, totally. It's maybe that's why I feel that way too, is because I've been around a lot of drag and I've been around a lot of burlesque where like, yeah, you do just hand people money and it's normal. And it does not feel normal at wrestling. And I don't know what it is about wrestling. I've never really thought about it other than
it's the social contract, right? You're like, this is what we're supposed to do. Yeah. It's accepted.
Yeah. But it's weird that it's not part of the social contract in wrestling. I mean, like, I've never really thought about, because it's weird. It's a weird carny environment. You would feel like it would feel easier to just give people money, but it doesn't. It does feel very weird to just like pull out money and hand it to a performer. That's why I think people responded so heavily to the way that, like, even at totally other Americanized shows, when Lucha Bros would show up at stuff, people would throw money into the ring because they understood that social contract of it's okay if we tip you, and you're really encouraged to tip them in that moment. And people love the sight of this money like pouring into them at once. But when you're just walking around a craft fair full of wrestlers, like it does feel very weird to be like, hey, I'm going to hand you money in front of all of these other wrestlers. I'm not handing money.
Yeah, it's weird. And if it was Venmo, you could be like sneaky about it and be like, okay, I want to tip you and you and not you.
Or like, I interacted with you and I had a really nice time. Here's a dollar. I can put it in this jar. That feels way less weird than like walking up to someone and just being like, here's a fiver and just like take it off.
Yeah. And also sometimes you can't tip a lot. And so it would be weird to go up to somebody who's not accepting tips and be like, here's a dollar.
Exactly.
But if it's a tip jar, then you feel okay. Like, oh, I only have this dollar. I can put this dollar.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. It does feel really insulting to hand someone a dollar.
Unless it's like a social contract that you've agreed on.
Right, exactly. Like it's different when you're – and you understand other people are handing them more dollars. If you're the only one handing them a dollar, it feels especially insulting.
Yeah. And then so then we came back for the actual Rise show, which, I mean, we talk about it all the time, but Rise is my favorite. Yeah, like, truly. The pace is good. The matches are good. The crowd is good. Also, this time it was Kevin, the owner, came out before it went live on pay-per-view and was like, look, I'm going to swear. Sorry if there's children here, but we have some rules and we're going to say these rules every time from now on before we start the show. He was like, don't say shitty racist stuff. Don't say shitty homophobic stuff. Don't say shitty transphobic stuff. Don't say shitty ignorant shit or else we're going to kick you out without a fucking refund.
It was awesome. And people were so excited about it too. Like, hearing that crowd react to him saying that was like, yes, this is the correct feedback loop. Because the 8 assholes who were there who would have done that stuff immediately had it thrown into their faces right at the top. The owner's not going to fucking deal with this. And the rest of this crowd isn't going to fucking deal with this. And there were no problems. No one was shitty. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was a really good show too. Like, you can buy it on like Fight TV for like $15 or whatever. I think it's worth it. I think Rise is always worth it. But this one was like a really well-paced, fun show. What was your favorite match?
Ooh, Jamie and Candy Lee. I really enjoyed. It was, it's not the best.
A Divas match.
Yeah. Like, it was such a good concept. And like, I like that both of them like are fun and joke around about the fact that like, am I the best wrestler in the world? No. Am I doing the fucking best I can and I'm still really good? Yes. Like, I really like that. I love that Jamie did a fucking split on her face and then screamed, I did a split on top of her face. Like, it was just so good.
And then, but the best part of it is, like, Jamie does a split on her face and Candy still kicked out. And then Candy did a split from the top rope on Jamie's face. It was like, I see your split and I raise you a bigger split. So,
they just had such a fun match. And, like, I love that Jamie came out. And I love that his thing is that he's the queen of punk rock, right? Is that what it was? The queen of punk rock? And I like that he got to be this like antagonist in like, I'm a diva. I get to be this shitty diva. And he just nailed it. And it felt so appropriate for that space. And it didn't feel like someone was coming in and preaching to you about how you should be better. And then like hypocritically not enforcing that in other spaces, for example, just for no reason off the top of my head. but it just, I really liked it.
Commentary. I just think the commentary that they're like, okay, well, we both call ourselves divas off of like, you know, out of this ring. And so we're going to make like a funny commentary about how like WWE used to call wrestling divas and they're both queer. And also having moments where they like 30 seconds where they're just shithouse slapping each other in the face.
That was Candy's nuts.
Candy slaps are bananas.
Candy slaps are like Mercedes chops. They were bananas. Like, I've never seen someone get slapped in the face like that before, ever. It was great.
The most fucked up chop of the night, though, was earlier in the day when Kimber hit Miranda and it felt like her chest caved in. It was so loud.
Oh my god, that's right.
Kimber, by the way, looks fucking great. Oh my god. Like, her whole transformation of like vegan and coming out and not drinking alcohol anymore and like recommitting to herself as like a wrestler, like, looks fantastic. Put on a fantastic match. Like, yeah, good for her.
I think that this is probably the best she's ever been, to be honest.
Yeah, probably. I don't know. That's like a big statement, but probably. Well, if you're like happier with yourself and your health, then like, yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, she was always really like, I really liked her before she went to WWE. I was always a fan of her wrestling then. But I feel like even now, like, she's wiped away a lot of that stuff and she's better than she was before, even when I felt like she was committing to her wrestling kind of in the same way. I mean, that's growth and personal journey. Obviously that contributes to that, but I just feel like it's noticeable now how much better it is.
Yeah. I think obviously another notable match was the ladder match. Yes, like, obviously totally. That match was bananas. Because also Berwyn is not a big place with a high ceiling. Like, there was definitely a moment where Jake Atlas punched Kylie in the face on top of the ladder and then Kylie's head just smashed into the light.
Yeah, it was like the perfect place to be set up for her to be like cracking her head on this light too. And she set up the ladder and I don't think she realized that that's where the top was at first, because like, it's hard to look up into the lights and be like, okay, where does it end exactly? Because it ends further than where the light appears to end because it's got like a case around it. Yeah, that was nuts. We had like the perfect seats for that too.
Yeah. There was a bunch of moments where I was like, Priscilla Kelly definitely saved someone's fucking brains at one point because somebody was getting like power bombed and Priscilla grabbed the ladder from the outside and yoinked it. And I don't think a lot of people saw it, but Priscilla's like, shit.
Oh man. Yeah.
Yeah, that was really good. And I like that Bryce was in it. I like Bryce. He's like a local wrestler. He's really, really good. I like
he performs with Zello all the time. That's where I've seen him mostly.
Yeah. And freelance too. I think part of Rise's like mission of like intergender wrestling and is great. I know that, you know, they were just women's wrestling and then they had their Rise Pride and Joy show. And I like this idea of like, yeah, sure, we'll have men, but you got to wrestle the women. Like, I like that.
I agree. There's no, they've never done just men's matches and I don't think that they ever will. Kevin has said too, like, even though we've refocused and we've like changed our objectives, our main focus is still to bring the spotlight to women's wrestling because no one else fucking does that, basically, which is not entirely true. People with the same national platform as Rise do not do it in the way that they do is more what he means.
Yeah. Obviously a fun match was the Legends match with Colt Cabana as a ref and Cassandra versus Soraya, which was just like shocked beyond belief that Colt Cabana did not get his dick kicked.
Absolutely. We all were like, oh yeah, totally. This man is 1000% getting kicked in the dick. That's why they brought him in to do this. That's what it felt like. It was like, why is Colt doing this? Okay, cool, whatever. This is fun. But it was funny too, because I was thinking about it last night. It kind of, this is not the exact comparison, just the way that this felt. But there was that time it was Shawn Michaels and I want to say Bret Hart, but that cannot possibly be correct. It must have been somebody else. It was Shawn Michaels and somebody wrestling, and they brought in Stone Cold Steve Austin to be the ref, and then Stone Cold was just a ref. It wasn't like it never became a part of the match that they had.
Well, but that's totally not what happened with Colt, because Colt was like making out with Cassandra.
But that's what I mean, where like it didn't feel like Colt was there as a wrestler who was a third part of that. He just felt like the ref in this match. You know what I mean? Like it was.
But refs usually don't kiss the.
But in a, like in a comedy match, that's very normal. Like it felt very natural that it was Colt doing this, but I felt like it felt natural in the rhythm of the match too. It didn't feel like, oh, this is Colt taking over this match. He felt like, oh, okay, this is a very natural part of what's going on now. Maybe that's just because I love Colt Cabana, but also like
it was very
It was great. Also, it looked like he was wearing a cup when he came out, so we were all like, oh yeah, dude's totally getting kicked in the dick here. And didn't.
Maybe he did just in case.
Yeah, he was like, I'm prepared at any moment to get kicked in the dick because you never know what will happen.
I'm hanging out with Soraya Knight. Yeah.
Just have it on at all times. Oh my God.
And then the double main event. So it was Lainey Luck, another local girl that we love, versus Big Swole Ariel Monroe for the Rise Championship. It was such a good match. And Lainey's one of those people where the first time we saw her, we like despised her. We were like, what is this bullshit?
What is this Snapchat queen? Absolutely not. We're not into this. And she was like, you know what? You're right. Party unicorn.
Her transformation in the ring and as a character has been so great to watch. And she's definitely one of my favorite wrestlers now. Like I love it. And she kept up with a Big Swole, and that match was great.
They had a great fucking match. Man, I love Big Swole.
She actually felt like a threat, not just like this is, you know, local girl, or she's like been here in Rise for a while, so we're giving her a chance. Like, no. She like earned it and like showed up, and that match was very good.
She's definitely someone who could hold the Rise Championship in the future, it feels like. That's what that match was supposed to accomplish, was to make that audience think that, and I think that absolutely succeeded.
Well, especially since Kylie has the contract too. So, and then the main event was Shotzi versus Rosemary in a no holds barred match. It was Shotzi's last Rise, and she kind of like grew up in Rise. Like that's what she said at the end. And the match was good. It wasn't anything to write home about, to be honest. Like I've seen both of them have better matches, but it was fun and it was meant to like spotlight Shotzi, and it was a nice way to say like goodbye.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. And although I enjoyed that they passed out the green balls at the beginning, and I liked the idea behind it, I think it would have been more effective if there had just been green streamers.
I don't know. I like the green balls. It seems very Shotzi.
Yeah, totally. I just – the visual of it
– should have done both.
You know what? It should have been both. That's exactly what the middle ground is. It absolutely should have been both. It should have been balls at the beginning and streamers at the end.
Balls at the beginning, streamers at the end.
Normal stuff.
Another match I want to talk about before we move on to our, you know, fuck, marry, kill. is the Taya yes. and AK had a savage as fuck match where they – it was basically a comedy, like, weapons match, and it was great. And I enjoyed every minute of it. I loved it so much. It was stupid and fun, and both of them are great wrestlers and really have good characters. And it wasn't like a brilliant wrestling match, but it was like a good character match.
Yeah, I was like expecting more of a street fight, and then it was this like really fun comedy match. I really enjoyed it. Yeah. I will say, I think if I could have made any change at all, it would have been the second trash can. I won't say what it is so that you guys can watch it and you'll figure out what that means later. Instead of what was in it, I wish it had been full of Legos. I feel like that would have been... that would have like made it more of the of like a wrestling match in the way that I was expecting. Also, I didn't love the second prop. I thought it was fun, but it wasn't what it was. Yeah. I think it could have been a lot more. And that's what makes me think of like Legos or some kind of like large amount of toys.
Yeah. The first prop and the third prop were funny for different reasons and like good, but yeah, I agree. The second prop was like a little underwhelming and lackluster, yeah. But she also smacked Ty in the face with the trash can while opening that one. So it
that
did have
was
an
great.
Extra.
Yeah, that's true. I forgot about that. Ty's like, what are you doing over there? She's just like, whap.
Yeah. All right. Any other thoughts about wrestling?
No, it's nice to enjoy stuff.
Yeah,
yeah, like? I know, right? It's a really great feeling. I love it. Yeah, everyone should be watching Rise. It's wonderful.
The best. Okay, so this is a fuck, marry, kill from Joe, okay. Obviously.
Thank you, Joe.
Since it will still be the spookiest month when I send this in, and likely when you record this episode, wrong, it's November now, but it's fine. Here's the final two spooky fuck, marry, kills featuring best spooky women. So the first one is Lily Munster, Morticia Adams, and Elvira, Mistress of the Dark.
Okay.
This one's very easy to me. Marry Morticia because she's the best wife. Like, they have the best relationship. So, like,
1,000%.
Marry Morticia. I think you have to fuck Elvira because she's, like, super sexy. Like, right? Her whole thing is, look at my tits. And yeah, I love Lily, and she's a great wife and a great mom. But, like, it's just the way that the cookie crumbles. Sorry.
Yeah. I would agree with that, actually. I think that those are all very good points.
That one was pretty easy.
I also have one that Joe sent me.
There's another one here.
Okay.
This one is Rosemary, Sue Young, Jessica Havoc.
Ooh, okay. Marry Rosemary, fuck Jessica Havoc, kill Sue Young.
I would say marry Jessica Havoc. Fuck Rosemary, kill Sue Young. Sue's too scary.
Yeah. Also, like, is Sue going to be offended by being killed?
She'll probably come back.
So. Yeah, she's like, okay, cool. See y'all later. Get ready to get haunted.
I don't want to be anywhere near that glove.
Oh my god. Oh, I actually gagged a little. Oh, yep. Nope. Sorry. We got to put that in the ground.
That's the one you have.
Okay. First, I'm going to read you this message and then we can do this. All right. Hey, Aaron, is there any chance you've seen Hocus Pocus? Which I responded with a gif of Mandy Kaling saying, number one, how dare you? Have I seen Hocus Pocus? Fuck you, of course I've seen Hocus Pocus. I literally watched it at Stella's house on her Halloween party. So yes, I have seen Hocus Pocus. Thank you, Joe. If so, would you want to do a fuck, marry, kill for the Sanderson sisters? Or would you rather fan cast the movie? I would rather fan cast the movie.
We're not killing any of the Sanderson sisters.
Yeah, again, they'll come back and they will kill us.
Also, it's obvious. Marry Winifred, fuck Sarah, kill Mary. Sorry.
Yeah, like,
very obvious.
Yeah, that's 1,000.
How dare you?
That's super obvious. All right, fan cast. Who would you cast as Bette Midler, obviously? I mean, you can't really think of her outside of that.
Honestly, my instinct immediately was Allison Kay.
Ooh.
She's got that,
one.
Like, crazy energy. But also it has, like, that, like, I walk into a room and I, like, own the space energy. And also she seems like she could boss a bunch of people around. And also she seems like she would be chill killing children.
Yeah, I would agree with that. My instinct was Maria Kanellis, who I feel like also has very crazy, chaotic energy, but maybe not in, I don't know. Maria's collected, but Maria's like more out, like, I'm sexy. That's part of my deal, which is more Sarah, I guess.
Yeah.
I would agree with Allison Kay. I think that she's a great casting for Winfrey.
Maria's too smart to be Sarah. You have to cast somebody who's dumb.
Well, yeah, I
honestly,
know.
Honestly, Jamie Senegal would be a great Sarah.
Oh my fucking God.
And Veda Scott as Mary. This is perfect.
Really? You think Veda Scott is Mary?
Yeah.
But Mary's dumb.
No, she's not. She's not as dumb as Sarah. And also, she's like crazy and weird. I don't know. I think Veda would be funny.
Well, okay. Here's why I disagree with Veda as Mary. Mary is a dog. Like, that's what the actress plays her energy as. That's
true.
Why she like pants. That's why her tongue is out. And why she can like sniff out children. And I don't think Veda is dog energy.
That's fair. That's fair. Okay, I'll take that one back. Who's that then?
Who has crazy dog
energy? I guess like Chris Wolf.
Oh, yeah, that's really good casting. Actually, she'd be a fucking great Mary.
Sarah's sisters are AK as Winifred, Jamie Senegal as Sarah, and Chris Wolf as Mary. Nailed it.
Oh my God. Who's the Salem? Who's their too smart against Jimmy, fucking Jacobs?
Salem is Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Sorry, what's his name? Thackeray Binks.
Thackeray Binks?
Is Jimmy Jacobs.
I guess.
Who else is a smartass who sticks around to make sure that everyone knows how smart he is and is also really good at orchestrating the end of things? I feel like it's great casting.
That's pretty good casting. I don't really want to cast – we can cast Billy, but I don't want to cast the children because they're boring.
Yeah, the children are extraordinarily boring. Billy, who's a zombie who comes back who we think works for the man but doesn't actually and is actually pretty chill? Kevin Owens.
Sure. Sure.
I don't know who else it would be.
That works for me.
Okay. All right. That's fine with me as well.
All right. We have to wrap this up so I can go to Shimmer.
All right. Go catch a cold.
Yep. Yeah, I'm ready. My Shimmer flu.
All right. Where can people find you on the internet?
I'm at @Stella_Cheeks.
I'm at @EarnGenC.
Use the hashtag #NotYourDemoPod to interact with us online.
You can send us an email at notyourdemo@gmail.com.
You can rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes.
You can subscribe to our Patreon. We got all kinds of good stuff up there. We will have more up there coming soon. You can listen to a bunch of my weird fucking stories. That's at patreon.com/notyourdemopod. We have merch. I always forget we have merch. whatamaneuver.net. I think that's it. Any final thoughts? No, that's it.
Nope.
All right. Mark out.
Fuck off. Bye.
Bye.